took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from
a vision to support our brother and sister Christians
and those who are still seeking Jesus
by applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus
and his people,
and he wants us to strengthen his disciples
to get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another episode of Glorious Day. This is Pastor David, and Pastor Barry could not be with us for this recording session. He has a kind of a pastoral emergency he's dealing with, but I'm not winging it alone. I have a guest with us tonight, Mr. Jonathan Dobbs. He's a pastor. He's a chaplain. He has a tremendous ministry, and some of you who listen to this station have already heard his testimony and have heard him talk about what he's doing. But tonight, and especially for those that only listen at 5:30 a.m. or p.m., you're going to have a real treat, because for the next 3 weeks, Jonathan's going to be with us, and he's going to be sharing out of a really dramatically Holy Spirit-led Bible study that he's been doing and that he wants to share with us, is how it works and the blessings and benefits of it and how people are receiving it. But first, Jonathan, welcome to Glorious Day.
Well, David, thank you for letting me come on, and thank you guys for just making time to just kind of talk about what God's doing in our lives and just to meet with you. We're here to learn, too.
It's always a pleasure to have you, Jonathan. And I'm going to tell our listeners, Jonathan works, he ministers with Walking with Warriors. And it's a very special ministry for first responders. And who really, if any of you out there are first responders, you know how important it is to have people who understand and bring the love of Christ into your life when you need it most. And Jonathan has a military background, and I'll tell you what, right now you read the news, the people in the military, a lot of them are first responders out there. So Jonathan, tell us a little bit about your testimony, how you met the Lord, move into then sharing what Walking with Warriors does.
Sure.
And go from there. We'll let the Spirit guide this.
Okay. Well, my short story, there was a time in my life in high school where I was a football player, but very far from God, even though I grew up in the church. And the problem was, even though I knew a lot of Bible stories and I knew a lot of content, I didn't possess a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so I noticed that some of the kids in our youth group, which was big, did, and they liked reading the Bible, and I didn't. But what's the problem? We're all Christians. It's kind of the thought I was having.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got kind of tricked into this concert event that I got invited to. And we drove from Augusta, Georgia, where I lived, all the way up to Charlotte. And we get there, and it's pouring rain. And I didn't know if we were actually going to listen to the music because it was raining so bad. And they said they were going to get electrocuted. Mm. And about the time they were going to cancel it, Billy Graham stepped on the stage. And he just started relating to me about the Smashing Pumpkins at the time, which was a band I liked.
Mm-hmm.
But the lead singer was an atheist. And his main lyric said, "I still believe that I cannot be saved." And all he did as a 70-year-old was relate to me about the Smashing Pumpkins. And he talked about John 3, how Jesus came into the world to save us on a rescue mission. And so for me, that night, it became real. And I felt like I needed to, you know, surrender my life to the Lord. And, you know, when it was over, I had a real desire for the word and to make him known that wasn't there before. And if you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. You have that new appetite for the Lord and for his people. And so that was there. That's a little bit about that. As far as Walking with Warriors, we came off active duty in 22. And as I was coming off, I have a friend of mine who's a retired colonel from Special Operations Command over in Tampa. His name's Michael Harris. They started Walking with Warriors in 2018, and he gave me permission to kind of open up a chapter of it here. And they really are great at coming alongside military, fire, police, you know, first responders, connecting with them, encouraging them, and really just pouring into their lives. And so a lot of that is marriage care, it's family rhythm stuff, and it's leadership development. But I guess the part that separated, you know, them from the other warrior community groups that I saw out there doing a lot of great work with veterans and military is that they were really gospel focused. They're trying to bring people into the kingdom and share the gospel. I was at an event about a week ago. We're doing that in Tampa. Saw, you know, three or four people come to faith at this event, and a lot of people gave their lives, rededicated their lives. So it's really about that rescue mission.
That's right. And while some people are probably sensitive to what may go on in the first responder community in terms of first responders, their life being on the front line, and of course what happens in their families. But if you could, in a nutshell, just remind people why first responders really do need a pastoral evangelistic ministry to move, to be there and available to them.
Well, I think the hard part is for warriors and anybody who does shift work, it can be very long hours. And then if you throw in the career piece or the, you know, development piece, there's a lot of pressure for somebody to make something of oneself once you're in the institution, whether it's the military or fire or police. And then you've got a family life, and then if you throw trauma in there, it's just a very difficult thing, and it's very easy for warriors to get out of balance.
Yes.
And it's a lot of it's about balance. And so when you think about fitness, you got physical fitness, you got social fitness, so people who are like-minded in your core values who fly along with you in formation. And then you also got, you know, your mental fitness, how's that going? And then, you know, your spiritual fitness. And if those, any of those is a goose egg, you got a leg on your chair that's down on the floor, and you could be on a knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important to have balance when it comes to first responder work.
And that's what you do, and others in Walking with Warriors is come alongside those folks. Get to know them first.
That's right.
Before, you know, the ceiling falls, if you will.
Yep.
But then when you're there and they know you and they know you're there with them and you understand them, that can open doors, right?
Yeah, I think it's with any ministry of all, it's you have to have trust.
Yeah.
And once trust is established, then there's really a lot of things that can be talked about. But I think when it comes to a police or fire and rescue, or especially in the military, I was a special forces chaplain for a little while. These guys hold their cards really close to their chest, you know, and a lot of the men and women who serve in those units are just, you know, very leery of outsiders, and trust takes a while.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense, because especially in people like that do, well, special forces, truly, there's a lot of good reasons why they hold the cards close to their chest. A lot of they can't talk about their missions, for one thing, a lot of them. And that alone inhibits communication, and then things that happen while they're on a mission. I mean, there's some bad things that happen, some scary things that happen.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. How do you talk about those things? You hold them in.
Well, that's right. And I think that one of the ways I would articulate that, even in our military units, is, you know, it's kind of like you have a present, but you don't want to have Christmas presents in July.
Right.
The biggest thing is you want to make sure you're processing the things that you're going through.
Yeah.
And with good people.
Yes.
And that's the problem, is that sometimes when you're in a career like that, you may have several of these events in a six-month period, but they're just not processing those things in a healthy way, and they begin to affect things like sleep, your food, your intimacy, your exercise, and it's just, you can get out of balance.
That's right. And I think sometimes, too, and I've talked to some law enforcement officers whom I've gotten to know over the years, and of course, today, in the state of our culture, for instance, there's no such thing as a simple traffic stop or a routine traffic stop, because, you know, anything really, it could go, the wheels could come off real quick if somebody decides they want to shoot the cop. And there's a lot of that going on. There's just a lot of hard-edged crime going on. And it's no longer just in the big cities now.
Right.
It's in middle America. And so police are having to spend really more time in training, more time in attitude adjustment to get prepped for what may or may not happen. But that changes that impacts on the heart and the soul as well as the mind of an individual.
Yeah, I saw it this is probably about 3 or 4 months ago. I was delivering a meal on an after-hour shift to one of the shift leaders. And I just asked a question, hey, how can I pray for you guys? I'm a prayer person.
Sure.
And he said, and he was just real honest, 30-year-old guy, real nice. He said, you know, I'm having a good week, and I'm having a good day. And then, metaphorically speaking, somebody pulls a gun on me or a knife, and I have to get really physical, maybe even for my own life.
Yeah.
And I didn't come on shift to hurt nobody.
Right.
I didn't come on shift with the intention to fight nobody.
Right.
But that's kind of what happened, and then that just affects your day.
Yes.
And your week.
And in time, some people adjust to that, but then the adjustment can be painful and can be working against your peace.
And I think that sometimes... when you use that word shalom, that peace,
yes,
sometimes that not peace can kind of transition into the home, because you bring that stuff home.
Yes,
you don't mean to, you know.
I know.
Yeah,
but it's similar. It's sort of like as a pastor, when I would, and I was in big churches for most of my ministry, and so a lot of people having a lot of problems. I did a lot of pastoral work. I tried not to take that stuff home. But when people are down in the valley of the shadow of death, and you got to go and really bring them out as a pastor,
right?
And it's hard not to get affected by that.
And you can't really affect how you feel.
No.
So there's a lot of things that deal with that. And having a safe place to talk is a good first step. You know, it's not always professional counseling needed, and God did make our bodies in a way to heal.
Amen.
But if it starts to affect those critical things like your sleep and your food and your intimacy and your exercise, then you might have to talk to somebody who has some skills in those areas.
And I think sometimes first responders might be more inclined to talk to someone in a pastoral chaplaincy role than go to, and I know they have psychologists and psychiatrists that are available after, let's say, a officer-involved shooting or some kind of very traumatic event. to enable them, but I think and they probably are required in sometimes to do that, but there's going to be a lot more effective work being done, a lot more healing going to someone like you, I think.
Yeah, and I think too, like when it's, especially if it's a bigger unit, when you have more people affected and you're having to deal with that in a more bigger volume, I always found that I had a good rapport with our clinical psychologists, our sociologists. And I had no problem handing that off because we're a team.
Right.
And I just want people to get the care they need. And I can still be their chaplain.
Sure.
Even if I'm not providing that direct care. You know what I mean?
Amen.
So either way, I'm going to love on them and try to help them in Jesus' name. You know?
And that's going to come through. That honest, the spiritual integrity of that is going to enable them, most of them at least, to warm up to you. And I'm sure many now have, because you've been doing this for how long?
We started about 9 months ago.
Okay.
I started, you know, kind of raising funds for this about a year ago in November, but it's been 9 months, and we've been able to touch about, you know, 300 individuals or more in the agencies we've been working through, and it's been great, you know, because those always bring one-on-one sit-downs, meals,
Amen.
Conversations, and we try to make those around a Bible, so, you know.
And at this point, and I want to say, we always tell our listeners that we ourselves, Barry and I, don't raise money to support this program. But from time to time, we have guests on here, and we will raise money for them. And so I'm asking you listeners to pray. In fact, I hope there's several of you out there listening now, where the Lord's been prepping you when you think of where... Okay, the tithe goes to the local church. Where do my offerings go? And I'd like to recommend you pray about sending funding to Jonathan, because this is a ministry. He raises the funds. He doesn't get paid by Walking with Warriors.
No.
He doesn't have a part-time job, right?
No.
All of his funding to support him and his family comes from believers who see the hand of God in his ministry and want to really come in and grasp the hand of God by supporting him. So how can people send you funds?
Well, it's a team effort, but the way you would do it is I'd just give my cell number, 317 317- 303-1322. Again, that's 317-903-1322. We build teams to do this because, like I said, it's a partnership.
Right.
So we need to partner in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We have a prayer list of 100 people plus who get on there and we pray about stuff. And we also have people who give. And some people give lots, and then some people give a smaller amount on the month. And then we also have churches and we have businesses that get involved in different ways. And so it's kingdom work, and yes, we're all got a place, you know, at God's table, so to speak, doing this.
Amen. And if you're a pastor, or if you're a member of your church's board of deacons or whatever board of lay people qualifies like a board of deacons, and you're administering a church budget, and you have outreach funds, and you haven't expended them all, and maybe you're sitting around at a meeting scratching your head and saying, well, where can we send this? Then Jonathan would be his ministry is powerful. Because think about this, is everybody who's a believer, when God sends you out into somebody else's life, God enriches that life through you. It's not you doing it, it's Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit is giving that person what they need to be blessed, to grow, to have joy and peace, whatever the things are they need. And those people then will reach out to other people. And so it's a ripple effect. And I'm going to encourage you to send Jonathan, or call him and talk to him more about his ministry.
Sure.
If you know, you want to do that. But it's 317-903-1322. And we'll mention this again before we close. Now, when we were talking earlier over coffee about the Bible study that you're doing, you've been doing it now for several months, and I really loved the way it got put together. I love the effect that it has on those who participate. And you broke down three components of the Bible study. Tonight, we're going to talk about the first one, which is prayer. But I wish you would, before we talk specifically about prayer, if you would, we have about 9 minutes
okay.
to do this, but if you would just tell us a little bit about how this Bible study came about, and why it works so well.
Well, I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so when people come to know Christ, or if they have been a Christian for a little while, we're trying to train them in a basic way to enter the relationships they have in a prayerful way. Because prayer, you got to have a strategy for prayer.
Yes.
And you got to have a strategy for sharing the gospel. You got to have a strategy to get people into word.
Yep.
And so this is what I call Great Commission operations. You know, mm-hmm. Great Commission ops. You know, you got to have, this is part of the air war is prayer.
Yes.
We're trying to,
I love that.
Preaching and, yeah. and prayer is the air war. Boots on the ground is discipleship. And so,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people, they don't realize that if they were to take a sheet of paper, write down 5 or 10 people in their life, friends, family, coworkers. This is the Greek word for oikos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's your family, that's your network, right?
Yeah.
And if you just put it in your Bible and then begin to prayerfully pray for them people until you're in a spirit of prayer, maybe 5 or 10 minutes a day, and then systematically begin sharing the gospel with them, you will see uncommon results. If you share that message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and invite yeah. them to believe in him.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to believe. But, you know, we've seen a number of people come to faith this year, and it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with God honoring the proclamation of his word.
Amen.
But as they come to faith, you're training them to do some of these things. And so they're learning how to begin praying for their oikos.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning how to begin, you know, getting into the word intentionally. They're learning how to share stories. And so a lot of this deals with here's a command of Christ and then mm-hmm. learning how to obey it as best as you know how.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
It makes a great deal of sense, and it even speaks to me. I have to tell you, when God called my co-pastor Barry and I to create this program called Glorious Day, the core, I guess the very heart of it was, he said, I want you to speak to my people about the revival that I am bringing on this land. And that was 2.5 years ago. Now the revival is here. It's going to be exponentially ramping up. And I'd shared with you also before the program, and they've heard my testimony before, but my wife and I came to Christ in a Bible study. And it's very similar to the one that God gave you to put together. And I believe, Jonathan, that you're sharing this is the keys to revival for folks like me, and folks that are listening may not be in a Bible study, but are spiritually, scripturally articulate. They understand the Word of God. They've studied it. And I believe God is pouring out His Spirit today to inspire people who haven't really stepped out of their comfort zone and start Bible studies that are going to be revival studies.
Revival studies.
Revival, really, I believe people are coming to Christ so many ways, but the Bible study is a tremendous way. It's a neighborhood way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you and your home and a few people that you know and a few people they know.
Yeah.
And we weren't saved when we went to this Bible study, and we got saved because of it. I'm hearing revival in this, Jonathan.
Well, I think two things that I think are really powerful with this, and they may go into the other aspects as we talk about it in the days ahead, but an acronym that I learned on the field in Asia is MAUL. MAUL, like a bear.
Oh, M-A-U-L?
And when you're doing any of these things, whether it's prayer or sharing the gospel or getting into the Word with discipleship, you're modeling things for people. You're modeling how to do it. And see, that's the difference. In a lot of churches, people get information and Bible content, but you got to have somebody teach them how to pray.
Amen.
Model. And then, you know, the A is assist. So you assist them in the skill, but they're in charge of it. They're in the driver's seat, so to speak. But then the W is to watch, or, you know, and I get to watch them teach somebody else. And if they can teach somebody else that skill, I'll launch them in the skill. So if they're trying to teach somebody how to pray and I watch them do it effectively, I don't have to look over their shoulder anymore.
Right.
But when they're in the Word, the other one that's really important, another tool, is self-discovery. As people discover the truth of God for themselves rather than me handing all the truth to them, that might lodge into their mind and heart for life.
Absolutely, and it will.
Does that make sense?
It does make a whole lot of sense. And which tells me then, and what I'm going to say, someone may call me and say, you're wrong, which is okay, I don't mind being wrong, but in my experience with Bible studies per se and the way people do them, they are not as discipleship oriented as they could be, but this one is. What you just told me is, as a leader, you are looking for how those members are, of course, the spiritual gifts that they have and how they're using them, but you're also training them and encouraging them to be better disciples by applying the gifts and skills they have. When they show you that they understand a process, how to do this or how to do that, you encourage them, I'm sure, and that's that pat on the back, but also you trust them. It's delegation of authority in some ways, but it's also good quality discipleship.
Well, I think, too, we had this happen the other day, and it's a messy process sometimes. We had a former Marine in our group. He was a brand new Christian. Asked a hard question, said, well, is this, we're reading through Genesis right now in our group, and he was just saying, well, is this metaphor, or is this really happen? Because I believe in predeterminism, I believe in evolution. Now, this guy's a born-again Christian, but it doesn't mean his theology is perfect.
Right, exactly.
And I'm just sitting here going, man, what do I say to this guy? Lord, give me wisdom. And I just said, look, you know, we do believe this is the Word of God. It happened exactly like it says in the Word. But at the same time, I want you to understand something. Keep following Jesus through this.
Yes.
Let the Lord show you this stuff. We're not going to fix this question right here, right now. But we want to be a safe place for honest questions. And I did give him some, you know, things to think about. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not, you know, shying those away, but at the same time, it's not nice and neat like some of the programs I've been a part of in other churches.
But because you're willing to address those concerns, and you recognize people are at different places in their faith development, you're going to get messy stuff like that.
Sometimes, yeah.
And it's even appropriate to say, I'm not sure. I need to really look that up and pray about it, but I'll get back with you.
Yes.
It's because, you know, you can't be a leader that gives them the impression you have all the answers.
That's the magic answer, because a lot of times, you know, ask anybody. I don't care if you have a PhD. Sometimes you don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. Not to say anything against PhDs, but I've known a lot of them that didn't know a lot. Well, but anyway.
I've met a lot that do. You know?
I've known a lot that do.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with the spiritual issues at the heart of it all, it really does take sometimes. The questions are legitimate. They're coming from a place where they don't really know, and it may be something that was planted in their mind as a young child. I've had a few of those things crop up in my adult walk in Christ, you know.
And they need to see it from the Word, and they just need to build trust with the person who's trying to walk them through. Because really, maturity, Hebrews says, I think it's Hebrews 7, I'd have to go look, but it's learning how to discern the difference between truth and falsehood.
Amen.
If you can do that in a basic way, then you're a mature Christian, even though you may not be, you know, 40, 50, 60 years of age in your walk with Jesus.
Amen. I've known a lot of very mature Christians that were really young in the faith, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, but God had been nurturing them, and they were ready. You know, they're ready to jump in. They were all in.
Rightly divided the Word, right?
But then in a Bible study, when you have a group of people, they're not all like that.
Right.
And some people are slow, and this is no criticism of them. We're just different.
That's right, and that's why I like command-based discipleship, because people learn commands, they learn how to obey those, but they learn stories, and they can use them in ministry as they go, and that's kind of the fun part.
That is.
Hearing the stories of God every time they come back.
And those stories are what feed us in our faith journey.
That's right.
And some we talked about. Those stories from the Bible are powerful. They're true.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God makes sure that when we read the Bible today, and we know some of those texts in the New Testament, they're at least 2,000 years old. In the Old Testament, there are stories that were told for thousands of years before they were written down.
Right.
And so, but the Spirit of God was there to make sure it's true. We're almost out of time, Jonathan. So what I want to promise our listeners is tune in next week. Jonathan will be with us. We'll pick up on the theme of prayer. We'll move into the next element in this very powerful, very unique Bible study that he's really unpacking for us, so we can steal it, right? I mean, not steal it, but
use it. Yeah.
Use it. Apply it. And if at any point along the way you miss something, Jonathan is willing to speak to you personally. His phone number is 317-903-1322. Until next week, God bless you. God is with you. God loves you. Take that love to someone that doesn't know it and share Christ with them.
Amen.
Amen.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
There's an enemy who stalks us. He's full of hate and full of lies. He is hungry to destroy us, to season end our lives. He's the ruler of the darkness, and he's waiting for his prey. Son of David, drive the evil one away. Hurrah! Hurrah!